Ready?
I'm ready, thanks. Thanks for checking.
Good evening, everyone. Calling the meeting to order tonight for the Winchester Town Advisory Board meeting of October 27, 2020. At this time, I'd like to ask Mr. Dayton to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Happy to.
Where is it?
You got a view of it?
Yeah.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And introductions and roll call. My name is Robert Mikes. To my right is my associate.
Ken Dayton, thank you.
And staff introductions, starting with my left, Victoria.
Hi, can we take
the
Beatrice Martinez,
Commissioner
Sagerblum's office.
Yes. S.P. DeMer, Clark County Comprehensive Plan.
Okay. Anyone else?
Greg Sturman, Clark County Comprehensive Plan.
Okay, thank you.
You got Judy.
Oh, I forgot
phone.
Judy. I didn't see you, Judy.
I'm here.
Okay. The next would be the public comment. This is a period devoted to comments by the general public about items on this agenda. No discussion, action, or vote may be taken on those items. You will be afforded the opportunity to speak on individual public hearing items at the time they are presented. If you wish to speak to the board about items not on this agenda, you must wait until the comments by the general public period listed at the end of this agenda. Comments will be limited to 3 minutes. This time I'd like to ask for approval of the minutes for October 13.
I move to approve.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's right, move to approve. And approval of the agenda for tonight's meeting. But we want to make one exception. We're going to have a presentation from the Maryland Parkway TOD plan, and then we'll pick up the other items after that. And
I
second. Have to approve that?
Oh, yes, I move.
All in favor?
With your changes.
Aye. Judy?
Aye.
Thank you. Thank you. And any B or Bon, any informational items?
No informational items.
Okay. Well, then let's at this point go right over to the Maryland Parkway TOD plan.
Okay. Well, as you may know, I'm Greg Servant with the Clark County Comprehensive Planning Department, and I'm here to talk about the Maryland Parkway Corridor Transit Oriented Development Plan and the survey we're conducting currently.
We'll go around.
Sounds good. I got a handout here so I can push my old computer.
And John has been our liaison. He's been
I was gonna mention that. He's been at every meeting. He's one of the more vocal ones, giving us great input, so we really appreciate John from the town board helping us out.
Very good, because I'm the alternate, and I'm the opposite. So
I saw you at one meeting, though.
yeah, one or two.
Yeah. Okay, well, historically, the Maryland Parkway Corridor has been one of the most heaviest travel routes in the valley. And last year, the RTC board approved a bus rapid transit system for the corridor, which you can see on the right there, which stretches from Russell Road. It goes up Maryland Parkway up to the Bonneville Transit Center and then goes west towards the Las Vegas Medical District. Bus rapid transit has the capability to provide higher passenger capacity, more frequent and reliable transportation service with dedicated transit lanes, larger passenger stations, as well as bicycle and pedestrian facilities. And this new transit route will connect a lot of key components of the corridor, basically the McCarran Airport, UNLV, Boulevard Mall, Summerage Hospital, up through the Hunter Ridge neighborhood, downtown Las Vegas, and then UMC and Valley Hospital and UNLV Medical School. So bus rapid transit has the potential to enhance urban development along the corridor, and including expanded retail and entertainment opportunities, as well as more diverse work environments, job opportunities, and housing choices. In order to complement and support the bus rapid transit system plan, Clark County and the City of Las Vegas are working on a transit-oriented development plan for the corridor. The goal of this TOD plan is to create walkable, vibrant environments that are hubs of activity for residents, employees, and visitors. As part of the study, we have had a working group, including John, which was represented from private developers, community organizations, business owners, and project agencies, which have identified 7 distinct focus areas along the corridor that meet the criteria for enhanced development. The 7 areas is University Road, Domingo Road, Sahara Avenue, Desert Inn Road, also Charleston Boulevard, the Bonneville Transit Center, and the Medical District. So in order to learn what development priorities are most important to the community, from October 12th to December 18th, 2020, Clark County and the City of Las Vegas, in cooperation with the RTC, are asking those that live, work, and play within the corridor to provide feedback via online surveys. And normally we'd probably have in-person community meetings, but with the COVID pandemic, we're doing online surveys instead and try to gather feedback virtually. So it's even more important for us to get the word out. We're kind of hoping that you guys can help us also get the word out about our survey for the people that you know and the connections that you have. Because the more participation we can get, the better results we can get to it. So the purpose of the focus area surveys is basically to inform planning for transit-oriented development along the Maryland Parkway Corridor bus rapid transit line. The project will also lead to zoning code changes to allow or permit new uses and increased density and mixed-use type development also. It also will help to identify new public investment in community amenities, multimodal connectivity, and physical infrastructure. The major feedbacks we would like to get from the survey are, we'd like to learn how should development in public space in these focus areas look and feel in the future, what community amenities and infrastructure are needed in these focus areas, what new connections are needed in these focus areas, and what modes of transportation should they serve. Now the survey you can find at the landing page at bit.ly/mpc-landing. And basically, if you go to that website, you'll find an option to take the survey in English or Spanish. And once you select your language, on the next page, you would be able to select which focus area you would like to take out of the 7 that I mentioned earlier. We recommend using a computer or tablet because it's an interactive map survey, and having a larger screen would be a lot better. And once you take the survey, you can always return back to the landing page to take a survey for other focus areas. Just to give you an idea of how the survey looks like and give you a feel for it, for example, here is what a typical question. You'll see this is the Sahara Avenue stations in the center there, and then there's a quarter mile focus area around it. And then based on the left, you can see there we ask certain questions where you can, like, on the orange box, or you can click that and you show where you live if you happen to live in that area. You can click on where you work and you can click on drop pins where you areas you frequently visit, like if you go to the athletic club or the Smiths. So you get a feel of how people interact within the focus area. And when you click put things on there, pop-up questions will come up and you can answer the questions that come up. And once you've done with that, you just click the next button. In this section, we've broken the focus areas down into areas with similar characteristics. So if you click on an area, for example, that bottom area there, a question will pop up asking you how the area should look with a number of pictures. So for example, you see that picture there, it tells you, so this area would be at 2 stories with ground level commercial, or the next picture down to the 4 stories. So you would select which ones you think would apply, and you would do that for each area. In this section, you can indicate what kind of amenities you would like to see in the area. So in the survey, you have 10 choices, and you can use one more than once. On the left, you can see choices for like retail or housing. You would click on it and drop it the pin where you think retail should be, or you think housing should be. or office space should be. And you also have the infrastructure side where you're not limited. You can select as much as you want. If you feel like a crosswalk needs to go somewhere, or if they shade trees or public art or things like that. So these are kind of the general map questions that we have. There's also multiple choice questions in the survey. So everybody likes to get free stuff, I assume.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So as an incentive to taking the survey, for each survey that's completed, you have the option at the end to enter your email address to enter to a drawing for one of four $25 Visa gift cards. So, and the winner will be notified shortly after the close of the survey, which is, like I said, was December 18th. Once again, that's the survey link. If you're like QR codes, one up there. With that, I'll ask if you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer.
No, not really. That's a really cool interactive website. I like that. And I'm sure we should be able to drudge up some people that will take the surveys.
Yeah, if you get it past the word on, the better. We've done some other meetings, gone on social media, trying to reach out, contact some apartment complexes too, the managers, let them know some surveys in their office. You know, we might have paper ones if people would rather do that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
I have a question. Is it going to begin and do the whole route, or is it going to be in segments?
As far as construction, you mean?
Yeah.
That's more of a question for the RTC. I know they just started the design planning phase right now of how they're going about what the station's going to look like and how they're going about building it. So I really don't know what their plan is at this point.
I'm going to
ask the RTC and find out.
I don't know if it's a question or a comment. You know, most of the people in my social circle and my sphere of influence are not using public transportation. So, you know, I can't speak for the rest of the board or the people in this room, but how are you guys reaching out to those folks who maybe aren't coming to these meetings or aren't online and privy to these projects, who might be using them more than anyone else, who have the most skin in the game as far as usage?
Well, it's kind of like we say, we're contacting a lot of different apartment complexes in the area.
Yeah.
We were thinking about doing some door hangers. We're working with some businesses. We do have a public relations consultant on this project who has experience trying to reach different groups. But we do have certain goals that reach certain segments of the population, whether they're low income or Spanish speaking. We do have trying to reach out to groups that are harder to reach.
Good, excellent. So.
And I think, Greg, if I may, I think they're also trying to reach people that don't ride the transit and figure out why they don't and see if they can bring them in, and whether that's changing the land use of the area. So if it's easier to park and ride, or if it's easier if there's like restaurants that you're going to eat there and then go from there, go down to the Smith Center and catch a show, and you don't have to drive if you want to drink. So that they want to sort of take into account everyone's opinions, not only the people that ride the mass transit right now, but future riders.
Yep, that makes sense.
Yeah, so basically we want to try to increase the density by these rapid transit stations, so people don't even need cars. I mean, they can be able to access everything they want along the corridor. I mean, they have healthcare, they got retail, they got entertainment. So that's pretty the goal, and hopefully people might be enticed to move there. Right? So.
Yeah.
I mean, I have some flyers if you want them, if you want to pass them on, or it's
sure.
Up to you.
Yeah, we'll take a stack.
Well, I'll have a whole bunch, but maybe have a couple of those.
Yeah.
But perfect. Anybody else want any, or?
I'll get one from him.
Has the QR code and the website on there, so.
Just going to my neighbor's mailboxes.
And you have the Paradise Palms email, right?
Yeah, I give it to them. Yes, we got that.
Okay.
They do have a community email.
Yeah.
Okay. I know the people that run the Facebook page, but I didn't know if they had a an email. But yeah, that's good. That's about, I think, 300 or 400 households.
Yeah, I talked to our consultant, so they got the contact there and they're working. Might actually even have a meeting with them, I think.
Great.
Possible.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Guys.
All right. Thank you.
Bye,
Greg. Thank you very much. Welcome. Hey, Greg, you do this at Paradise?
Yep. And now, so we'll do the current planning side too.
Wow, you got double duty.
All right. Moving on now, we'll go to our regular attachments here, which was the first one will be before the Planning Commission on November 17th of 2020. Item number one is VS20-0431 Gia Grand, Maryland, Las Vegas, LLC, to vacate and abandon easements of interest to Clark County located between Vegas Valley Drive and Karen Avenue and between Maryland Parkway and La Canada within Winchester. Is the applicant present? Not here. Should we, are you in favor of tabling this?
Yeah, I think we should table it.
Okay, we'll move to table this until the next meeting.
I second.
Second. Okay, all in favor? Aye.
We might have lost her.
Are you in?
Judy, the motion's to table this one. The applicant's not here.
I apologize. I had to on you. Aye.
Great.
Okay. Item number two is for November the 18th, 2020, before the Board of County Commissioners. And it's UC-20-0437 out of Omar for use permits for the following: outside dining and drinking, and two, outside dining and drinking which is not in conjunction with a supper club, tourist club, mixed-use development, or a restaurant. Also for waivers of development standards for the following: number one, pedestrian access, and two, to increase the wall height, and three, parking lot landscaping. Also for design reviews for the following: outside dining and drinking patio area and parking lot redesign in conjunction with an existing adult use establishment on 0.9 acres in the M1 light manufacturing zone, generally located on the west side of Highland Drive, 636 feet south of Eden Avenue, within Winchester. Is this applicant present?
Hi. Yes. Hi. Thanks, everybody, for coming just for me tonight. I last saw you in March 2020 regarding a detached kitchen for this club and an expansion to the club, a second story. The club has been closed since March, and while building permits are being processed, it gave the operator a lot of time to dream and reimagine and even more improvements to this property. This time he wants to add an outdoor dining area and surround it with a block wall around the kitchen, go up to the property line, this area right here that's hatched. He wanted to have, now that he has a kitchen, he wanted to have a dining area to have proper dining tables, which is easier done outdoors versus indoors, where the cabaret has coffee tables not quite suitable for dining, busing, and just an eating atmosphere in general. We asked for an 8-foot block wall to shield the patio and the people dining in there from all the industrial activities. You can see from the aerial, we're surrounded by an alley, warehouses. I think this is actually a car wrecking lot. Eventually there might be construction on this parcel, although I don't see it happening anytime soon. So that's the reason for the 8-foot wall. We also asked to avoid the 4-foot sidewalk surrounding the outdoor eating area. And this is supported by staff because the footprint already is established on the site. There's no room to add this 4-foot sidewalk, and there's no other buildings in this commercial subdivision or parcel, no other businesses that would generate visitors to traverse the past this outdoor dining area. And of course, ingress for everybody, even people that just want to go there to dine, if that would ever happen, is in the same exact spot. Where there's alcohol, you have to be able to contain it and have the same ingress and egress as previously, so it can be controlled. I'll be as succinct as I can with the parking lot layout. This building here was once an accessory valet only indoor parking area. It's never been used for that purpose. We just never have the parking demand for it. It's recently been demolished, and we propose this new layout and striping, and staff supports that as well. The only concern I have is with the first condition on the staff report, as it reads no amplified music or sound in the outdoor area. I'm not quite sure of the reason for this, but this is an industrial area with no offices, hotels, or anything but warehouses. There's no dancers outside. We just want ambient music, as most outdoor restaurants would have. And ambient music is allowed in an industrial district by Table 3068.1. It recommends decibels for the daytime and the evening. And we just would like to reconsider that condition and follow those guidelines.
That's a good argument.
Doing questions from anyone in the audience on this item?
Thank you.
All right.
I said thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Yeah, I was just wondering why they didn't like that one piece of it, that amplified music.
I don't know offhand, but generally sometimes music like this can travel, so there's always a concern. I know that there's not a lot of residential in the area, and I understand her argument. That's the only time I can think of something like this, that because it can travel. Sometimes, you know, ambient music can travel some distance. So,
sure.
If they got decibel levels and they're willing to abide them, it's purview to the board how they wish to vote on that.
Are the decibel levels recommended, or is that enforceable?
I do believe they do. It could have someone go out.
Because maybe the concern is that they'll just start playing it too loud.
That's the reason why a lot of people do that.
But it sounds like there's some framework in place already to avoid that.
Yeah, it doesn't say how enforcement is done, but I do know that there has been cases, I've heard of examples where they do go out and measure sound if there is a complaint.
Yeah.
I think that would be under the Metro's purview. I'm not sure if it's under code enforcement, but there have to be a complaint.
All right.
Yeah. And then that's how they would go about investigating that.
So. Sure, sure. Judy, do you have anything on this item?
No, I don't.
Anything else, Ken?
No, I don't have any questions. I personally don't see a problem with some ambient music. I think it, can enhance the business and deter loitering. So that's my take on it, and it sounds like it's been approved in other cases. So,
You're moving to approve?
Yeah.
I'll
make a motion to approve, but I would strike the condition of amplified music or sound in the area that you've described, as long as it's within the decibel levels laid forth in the code that you presented us.
3068.1. Yeah.
Okay. All in favor? Judy?
Aye.
Aye.
Great.
Thanks.
Thank you.
See you next time. He has a great idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, back to the fun part. This is a period for comments by the general public, and it's devoted to anyone in the audience about items relevant to this jurisdiction will be held. Does anyone have any comments? Okay, our next scheduled meeting date is November 10, 2020. And you have anything else to say?
That's all. No? It's been a pleasure.
Okay. Meeting adjourned.
Great.